that scripture reading. I'm also going to ask you to say a prayer for my program tonight, because somewhere in the process of a last review this afternoon, I hit a button that I shouldn't have hit and wiped out a part of it, and I was in the mad process of getting it back into place when Mother Jim knocked on my door. I had an alarm set, but the alarm didn't go off either for some reason or other to alert me for the time that was to come. So, you know, hope I find a way to get this thing started, because I went off and left my mouse and all the excitement tonight. So, but I want to start this evening with Matthew 24:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall be these things?" He had just been telling them of the end times and the things that would be assigned for his second coming. Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then I'm going to Jacob in the Book of Mormon, to those that would like to follow, page 186. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant, and the servant did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And we are few today in the service that is going to be required of us in the days ahead. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, "Go and labor in the vineyard with your might. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard, and the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh." And that's what my title indicated. "And if ye labor with your might with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will come." And then I'm going over to 2 Nephi in the 8th chapter, and we'll begin with the 18th verse. It's found on page 116. "And it shall come to pass in the last day, when the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways,' and he will. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law," that's right here, "and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Now, the Lord was the word that came from Jerusalem, and that is ours. "And he shall judge among somewhere there, behold, all nations of the Gentiles, and all the Jews, both they which shall come upon this land, and they which shall thee upon other lands, yea, even upon all the lands of the earth. Behold, they will be drunken with iniquity and all manner of abominations. And we see this today. You can't turn on the news without seeing these things being poured out to us in abundance. And it's not just the Americas or Europe. It's every place. And without exception. And when that day shall come, they shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with a great noise and with storm and test and tempest and with the flame of devouring fire. I don't know how many of you, probably most of you, heard that several cities on the East Coast were shut down this last week because of the great snowstorms. Boston can't even clear their streets. There's so much of it. And this is a part, early signs, I believe, of this time of the end. But it's not the end yet. There's too much to be done. And all nations that fight against Zion and to distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. Yea, it shall be unto them even as unto a hungry man, which dreameth, and behold the earth, and behold he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or like, sorry about that spelling, like unto a thirsty man which dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetites. I think that is, that's I'll step down. This is speaking more of the same things. Nations and shall be rebuked many, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nations shall not lift up the sword. That's after Christ comes. Shall not lift up the sword again against nations, neither shall they learn war anymore. Won't that be a wonderful day? These are the conditions. This is my commentary. These are the conditions we must endure before the end of time comes. And then Christ shall come to establish peace upon the earth, which shall last throughout eternity, some of which we are beginning to see now in 2015. The everlasting inheritors of the remnant of Joseph must be restored to their rightful place. That's this nation. That's their inheritance. That was promised to him by Christ when he was here. And Zion must be established, and the temple of the Lord must be built by the seed of Joseph, not by you and I. That was attempted out here in 1929, and it failed. And it has to be done in God's way, not ours. By the seed of Joseph, before Christ shall come. Those are things that must happen before Christ comes. And we think if we hear someone coming to us and saying, Christ is going to come in the morning. He's not going to come in the morning. He's going to come when these things are finished and not until. He doesn't know. We read in the Sunday school class, the adult class this morning, Even Christ himself does not know when he will come, the day or the hour. Only the Father, the eternal Father, his Father, knows. But what shall be the state of we who hopefully are true followers of the gospel of Jesus Christ and our Lord and King? And we'll turn to Isaiah now, the 65th chapter, and we'll begin with the 18th verse. But be ye glad and rejoice forever at that which I create. This is God's appeal, Christ speaking. For behold, I created Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. But it didn't last because of the people. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my peoples, in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For a child shall die and 100 years old. Now, that's older than me. only sister Lois has reached that age. But these children will be not like her and I. They will be like the cream of our people. They will have strong minds. They will have physical bodies that don't shake like mine or give problems. Regarding this child thing, and this is the crux of what I have to say this evening. It is my opinion and belief, and I do believe it, that all little children of every race and color are innocent and without sin. That's the scripture teaches us that, number of places. And are innocent without sin until they reach the age of accountability, as stated in Moroni 8:6-28. We are not told what age they become accountable, because this varies, I believe, in many ways. It has been advocated by many in past years. My father urged me when I reached 8 years old that I be baptized. But I had made a commitment to God that I would read the scripture, the Bible, from cover to cover before I accepted baptism. So I knew what I was doing, because that's what I had been taught in Sunday school and at my mother's knee. And this comes at different ages. I wasn't baptized until we were in Texas, and I finished reading the Bible one night in the tent outside of one of the members' homes down there that we were having outside meetings in. Dad was, and I had a flashlight, and I had the covers over my head so I didn't bother my brothers. And I read that last few verses of Revelations, and the next morning I couldn't get in the house quick enough to tell my father I wanted to be baptized. And that was Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon I was baptized and confirmed, 9 years old. Others might take 20, 30 years old before they're convinced, but they should not be baptized until they are converted to the beliefs of the Church of Christ and believe the scriptures and understand what they're telling them about sin and forgiveness and eternal life. It's been advocated in the past that 8 years, that comes from that they become accountable at the age of 8, because the Mosaic law required boys to be trained beginning at the age of 8 years of age, and be conducted by the priests. But the Mosaic law was fulfilled, every whit of it, in Christ. And he tells us that several times in both books. And the only thing that is still in effect are the unfulfilled prophecies. No place in either scripture is an age given. This does not excuse either parent or any child of teaching each child in the family as early as birth to be respectful of all others and obedient to parents, who should also see that no child should ever be rude or mean to any other human being or any of God's creation. And I believe that thoroughly. Animals should be respected. And I'm sure Mother Dawn back there would agree with that. He cares for those. And he's seen plenty of them, I'm sure, that haven't been respected. They should always be as Christ-like as they can understand. Baptism should be performed when the child or adult understands and requests baptism. They should not be coerced or forced into it, or shamed, or any other method. They should be taught, and if they still don't accept, that's their responsibility if they have reached the age of accountability. And until that time, or until they part from the home, we should continue to teach them. And we should insist that they abide by the rules of the house, which should be the scripture and God's word, as long as they're under that roof. And bring nothing else into it except righteousness and charity. At the time of the coming of Christ, when after a short period of time in God's timetable, whatever that is, as I believe it will be, when Christ shall cast Satan into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and he, Satan, will have no contact or influence over any creature on earth, we all except the unrighteous, who will be on the four quarters of the earth, also with no influence upon the righteous, including little children, we will learn to become fully righteous and become worthy to stand before God, the Eternal Father, without being destroyed. If we were to see him or go into his presence at our present condition, we would be consumed. That's what the scriptures tell us. And that's why this great period of time in our thinking of 1,000 years will take us that long to become perfect with no influence of Satan or evil among us. Little children will, as stated in Isaiah above, live to be 100 years old and die. No place does it state where they will be after that, or be if they are, or if they are resurrected during the 1,000 years. But wherever and how they will be with God and man, as all other worthy individuals will be, as we read. And this is, that's one of the booze I made this afternoon. I believe that this is Second Nephi, and I can see Second Nephi in the 8th chapter, I believe. Is that what did I say? What did I say?
Sean was going to give a reference here, right?
Yeah.
Dick?
Yeah.
That verse 21, that's Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65.
Isaiah, yeah, okay. I do remember Isaiah now. There's a couple of verses before this, but I will go on from here. And they, those little children, shall build houses and inherit them, and they shall plant, and that's what's spoken of in the, about, I think I started about the 16th verse. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruits of them. They shall not build and another inherit. They shall not plant and another eat. For the days of a tree are, and my comment, so shall, the days of my people and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. These 100-year-old children, that's my comment, are also his elect. So they will be with him too, these elect. They are included. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them, and their offspring with them. Now, these little children, there will not be. When Christ comes and in the beginning of this 1,000 years, they will not bear children. They will not have any for their children. That is the end when Christ comes of that. So this means they have come back in some form or in some way to be with the Lord. And the offspring are them, I believe. This proves to me that your children will be with him, but how, we are not told. Going on to the 24th verse. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And that is those who heed and are in that 1,000 years. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And then going to Mark, 13th chapter and the 19th verse. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Now, this is when Christ comes, and the condition that will prevail immediately before. And we are so deep into that. I don't know how it can get worse, but he hasn't come yet. These other things haven't been done yet. And that's our responsibility to do them and to see that they're done. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. I'll just pause here a moment and make it. You know, the number of atomic bombs that are now known to be in the world, probably number over 2,000. And the United States, I think, somewhere around a quarter of that. That's where the others are, in the enemy's hands. And guess what would happen if we had a nuclear war? You know, it would fulfill that condition very quickly. No flesh would be saved. Think about it, and then think what your responsibilities are to see that those things that will bring Christ to us get done, and promptly, and going on. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, he is Christ, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. You know, who of us are elect? Very few, if any. So we are all in this category of those that would be seduced if we're not careful. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. This is Christ speaking. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. You know, it hasn't happened yet. We shall have the sun come up every morning. The moon comes up every night, and they still give their light. And the stars of heaven shall fall. Well, we have a few meteors that hit the earth over time, but nothing to compare to this. And the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. You know, I don't know what powers this is speaking of, but if it's going to be that severe, you know, you and I have no chance at all without God. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth, and to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. For winds from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable. Oh, wait a minute, that's the same verse. That's one of the mistakes I was trying to correct this afternoon. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Now that's the generation when these things start. I'm not going to try to identify that generation. I don't know whether it's mine, or yours, or one of my children or grandchildren, but It's close. In God's time. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And the 33rd verse. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. And see also Matthew 24, beginning with 26, for this same information. And in closing, I would like to read from Habakkuk's admonition to all of us who hear, study, or believe the prophecies of these last days. Beginning with the second chapter and the first verse. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Yes, I'm going to be reproved. You're going to be reproved for the things we fail to get done in this day, in our day. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it, that he may hurry to do it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. And I want to emphasize this as a closing. Wait for it, because it will surely come to. It will not tarry. Thank you.